Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show.
All right. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation. My name is T.J. Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson. How are you, Taj? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's me. My mic.
And you know, we were just complimenting you before the show about how professional you are,
I was eating some chips, and so I muted the mic, but then I forgot to unmute it. So,
Taj, this is show number, I want to say 306. And you are still trying to figure out when you're supposed to be on. Is 308, and you're still trying to figure out when we're supposed to be on.
Okay. I'm still trying to figure out how to sneak some chips in before the show. Yes,
it's all good. It's all good. Taj is my eldest brother. My name is TJ Jackson, and for those of you who join us each and every Wednesday, we want to thank you all for being here. Of course, we are live today on Facebook and YouTube, but you may be listening to us via a podcast. Yes, each and every episode is ingested, uploaded, whatever the term you want to use, into the podcast universe where you can listen to it at your leisure anytime you want, whether you're going on a walk, at the gym, doing some studying, whatever you want to do. Make sure if you haven't done so yet, make sure to check out the Power of Love Show on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a disclaimer that I've done probably for 305 of these shows because my brother doesn't like to do it.
Exactly. But
we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we like to think that we have learned from our loss. And what we like to do here on the Power of Love Show is we like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you all get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please, please, please do not just rely on us. Very, very, very important. For those of you who may be watching for your first time, Taj and I are two of three brothers. Our mother, Dolores Dee Dee Jackson, was taken away from us at a young age, and this as in the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, is something we wanted to do in her honor. And the Power of Love Show is one of our favorite things to do. Every week we come on here and have a discussion, usually most of the time with someone special, a special guest, to help everybody, even including ourselves, understand and learn how to deal with loss, how to deal with grief, and how to deal with obstacles. So that is what our show is about. And if you're watching, thank you for being here. Same with listening, if you're listening. Now, if you enjoy this podcast, we at the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation would like to invite you to donate to our organizations and 501(c) nonprofit. It helps us provide music therapy classes to grieving children. You can donate on the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation website, which is ddjf.org. But if you can't afford to donate or don't have the funds to donate, you can always just share the word. Just share an episode with someone who may be going through something that you, and if you find something that you think, you know, we have 308 episodes, so I'm sure there's a topic we've discussed that maybe can help someone that is dealing with something. And just sharing the awareness and letting people know that they're not alone, that is a big win for us. That is the reason why we do this show. So I wanted to get all that out because we don't always talk about our why, and I thought it was important to do so. With that said, Taj, I'll pass the mic to you if you want to share a bit about how your week was. How was your last week?
Not great. I know. How many places have been? Look, the family was sick this week, so that's really where my brain is, and that way we're finally recovering. And that, okay. And I say we because I didn't get sick. So give me 3 days and I'll probably get sick after everyone else is healed. But it's always, you know, kids are kids in that way, and they bring home stuff and learning that in the hard way. But yeah, I don't really have anything exciting otherwise.
Harsh, you have two in school, right? Yeah. Two in school and one a baby. So yeah, you're gonna go through the rounds. You know, that's where they're picking it.
Oh, trust me. Yeah, they just give it to each other, and it's just like. It would be one thing if they were like synchronized, but it's always like that. There's an offset, so it's like when one's getting better, the other one starts getting sick. So it's that. So it just gets passed around.
Well, my week was a lot calmer. I was in Texas visiting my in-laws, my Franny side of the family.
How was that?
It was great. I love Texas.
I know you do. You've always been a Texan at heart.
Always will. There's just a pace about it that I really like. And we were in Houston. We were in Longview, which is where Francis is from, for about 3 to 4 days. But then we went to Houston for almost a week. Mm-hmm. And JoJo had a tennis tournament out there. So we got to experience the tennis life in Houston. But it was just a lot of fun. The weather was cool. It was cold on certain days, but then it got really beautiful. And Houston's a cool city. It's not my favorite Texas city.
what is your favorite?
It used to be Dallas. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge San Antonio Spurs fan. That's my favorite sports team. I think it's Austin. There's something about the hills and the greenery of Austin that is grabbing me. So, it's funny because Houston, I don't know, never went with me, but I feel like it's growing on me, which is cool. So we'll see. Yeah. But I do love the entire, and like I said before, I love Texas. So when I say Houston's not my favorite city, it's still one of my favorite cities in the States. It's just not one of my favorite cities in Texas.
Got it. Yeah.
So, all right. Enough Texas talk. Enough about us. We are here to do a show.
Yes.
And on today's show, Taj, we have a very, very special guest. Her name is Sarah Olscher. And after surviving a divorce and cancer all before she turned 35, wow. Mom and author, illustrator, Sarah took the lessons she learned about helping kids through major life changes and wrote a book.
I love it.
Then another and another. I love it already. Sarah, you are already someone I'm looking up to and admiring. So good on you. She now has 11 picture books under her belt and is the founder of Mighty and Bright, a company that helps kids and adults understand and manage their lives more easily using magnetic visual schedules. Sarah was chosen as a 2023 Remarkable Woman by Nexstar Media. So it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome the one and only, the wonderful author and the wonderful owner of Mighty and Bright. Without much further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sarah Olscher to the Power of Love Show.
Hi, guys.
Sarah, I love you. So good to see you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I mean what I say when I say I admire you. 11 picture books is pretty. It's a nice accomplishment. So
thank
good
you.
On you. Well done.
Thank you.
I had one quick question even before I dove into the questions. First of all, did I pronounce your last name the correct way?
You sure did. I'm very impressed. Yes. I get a lot of Olscher, but you got it.
And I said Olscher, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he usually gets it wrong. So that's...
I love it. Okay, very, very good. Okay, Sarah, can you delve deeper into how your personal experiences of surviving divorce and cancer influenced your decision to focus your career on helping children?
Yes. So my background is in psychology, but I studied adults. And it wasn't until I had my own child that I became just like completely fascinated by them, because they're really, really smart. Like they understand so much more than we give them credit for. They're really cool. And so my daughter was 18 months old when I went through a divorce, and she started showing signs of anxiety. And I was really worried about her, but I also felt like she was a baby. And I thought, you know, how do we help her when she really isn't very verbal? She doesn't really understand what's going on. And so I basically ended up, when she was two, trying to find a therapist. And my ex-husband at the time was like, what are you thinking you're going to get out of this? Like, a therapist is not going to help a two-year-old. Exactly. And I just thought, you know, I don't know, but I do know that I can't figure out what to do to help her. Like, she was afraid of everything. She was afraid of shadows on the ground. She was afraid of other children. She just had terrible separation anxiety. And I knew that I didn't know what to do. And so I did end up finding a therapist, and the therapist really helped me with learning how to validate her emotions. But what I really took from it in the beginning was just, wow, she actually understands a lot. And she might not be able to communicate, but she sure understands what's going on. And, you know, maybe what I needed to do was communicate with her more openly. And so I was already kind of starting to think like, huh, I don't think people are talking about this enough, you know, about what kids can understand. And so we continued to go to the therapist, and then the therapist went on vacation. And before she left, she made this calendar out of construction paper, and she used these like stickers to show my daughter, usually you see me this day, but you're not going to see me this day. You're going to see me this day instead. And I look at the therapist and I'm like, is this really necessary? Like, she doesn't understand the concept of time, let alone that she's going to miss an appointment with you in a week. And the therapist said, well, actually, it can really erode trust between a child and a therapist if we skip a session and no one says anything about it. And so I thought the whole way home, really, like, if it can erode trust between a therapist and a child to miss one session, what is it doing to her that she's going back and forth between her daughter, her dad and I? Like, what is it doing that some days are school days and some days she's at home? And so I got home and I started thinking, I wonder if I could make a calendar of some sort to show her what to expect. And so I was an illustrator for 6 years making wedding invitations for people. I would like draw them. And so I already had us illustrated. So I just made these little magnets and this like really janky looking calendar. But when I tell you her anxiety changed overnight, I am not exaggerating. It was mind blowing to me. She just really thrived. And it went from her being unable to transition to her being, you know, prepared and emotionally feeling like she understood what was going on. And so to me, that was really the beginning of my fascination with kids and my understanding of the fact that parents want to do what's best by their kids. And especially during divorce, they're always talking about putting the kids first, but no one actually defines what that is. And so I was like, we really need to talk about these things and, you know, how we can communicate with our kids better, because when we know better, you know, we do better, but we don't know what we don't know. And so I thought, I'm just going to put this idea out on the internet, because when I Googled co-parenting calendars, nothing came up. So that was the beginning of Mighty and Bright. And then I basically just had this like side hustle of magnetic divorce calendars. And then when my daughter was six, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I realized our lives were thrown into chaos and, you know, different people were helping out. My mom came and basically moved in with us. And, you know, sometimes people would help take my daughter to school, and she was always afraid that she was going to be forgotten there. And it really just made me realize that there are so many things that we suffer through as, you know, humans. And that when we're going through it as a parent, our kids are going through it too. And, you know, I went to a breast cancer conference and no one was talking about the kids. And I just thought, we need to expand this conversation further. And so I had looked for books to explain what cancer was, and the things that were out there were very kind of, you know, they were using analogies. They were like, oh, you know, cancer doesn't like it when you give it hugs and, you know, all of these different things. And I thought, where's the definition of what cancer is? Because now I know kids are really smart. Now I know they can handle having this explained to them, but there's nothing out there to explain it. And so I spent my treatment writing my first book.
Okay. I want to ask a question because this fascinates me. So, you got a divorce and your child who was two at the time of the divorce, was showing signs of anxiety, right? Were there signs of anxiety prior to the divorce, or do you think it was triggered by the divorce?
Well, what's interesting about that is there were a lot of changes because I had been working at home. And so she was used to being with me 24/7. So it wasn't just the divorce, was also now she's starting daycare. And so she's having an extended amount of time away from me. She hated that. And then we found out, like, when she was in first grade, she actually has a hearing loss, a genetic hearing loss. And so I had no idea. I mean, she showed no signs of that. So I think that probably had something to do with it. Also, is now she's in daycare and it's loud and she can't understand what's happening. So there was a lot going on.
So and the reason why I ask all this is because for me, when my parents divorced, I was 11, and I still to this day, I mean, obviously the murder of my mother was the hardest thing to get through and to deal with. But that divorce is a close second, actually. It was incredibly challenging for me as a kid. You don't understand what's going on. You know, you wish things could just be fixed simply. It's, you know, you don't get it. The two people you love the most aren't seen eye to eye, and you just can't figure out why. And, you know, I never got to the point where I blamed myself, but other kids may have. So, I just want to commend you for taking that step, taking that action that honestly 99% of people wouldn't, because of the age, because your daughter's only two, to try to learn, even if it's not the prototypical therapy session that we all would imagine. You know, it's the idea of getting another set of another mind to help your child get through this challenging moment. I think that's very, very commendable and cool. And even if the only thing, and I know you took more, but even if the only thing you took out of it was the importance for your daughter to understand, you know, the scheduling aspect, where they're going to be, and just so that they have some type of control or understanding of what's going to happen, is a huge win. And not only for this current season, but for life. You know, that's something that your child's probably going to want to keep a handle on forever. It's probably a personal characteristic that you can help develop and, you know, turn into something solid and help her prepare for life in a way that you couldn't before. So first thing, I just want to commend you with that, because like you said, you know, a lot of people, you said your ex was, are you serious? Was there anyone that was actually supportive of it and saying like, that's a great idea?
The therapist.
Just the therapist.
She, you know, because I said, is this going to be helpful? And she said, I'm trained to work with toddlers. Yes, this is going to be helpful. And we had a court-appointed mediator who also, I mean, I think we went in for mediation and my ex-husband was like, this therapist doesn't know what she's doing. And the mediator said, no, look at all of her. She's trauma informed. You know, she's been trained under these really great people. This is a fantastic thing. So,
yeah. And Caroline, I'm going to highlight a comment. Caroline says, so true. I feel a lot of people are trying to shield their kids from hurt by not talking about things when a better approach is open communication. Yes. Very well said. Okay. I have another question for you, Sarah. I'm now curious to know. There we go. Now I did it right. Okay. Now I'm curious to know how these pivotal moments in your life inspired you to write your books. And again, aimed at helping children navigate major life changes. What helped you, or what gave you that impetus to start writing a book?
Well, when I was trying to find a book about cancer, I wanted to explain the science of cancer in a way that kids could understand, but I also wanted to take it a step further and talk about how it affects a child's day to day, because you know, kids developmentally, the whole world revolves around them. And so their number one concern is like, are you going to be okay? My daughter's first question was, are you going to die? And then, but they also need to know how it's going to affect them. And so my first book was called What Happens When Someone I Love Has Cancer. And I started shipping this out to different publishers. And, you know, there's, when you have cancer, there's like a weird thing that gets flipped in your brain where you're like, I don't know if I have any time, you know, I need to make sure that I get this done because I don't know whether I'm going to make it through this or not, you know, no matter how good the prognosis is. And so, you know, I started to see what a slow process it was. And I got two rejections and both of them said, cancer isn't a big enough niche for us to publish a book about it. And I got mad. Because it's not just that, you know, millions of children have under the age of 18 have a parent affected by cancer, but also I just felt like, and this is not a very business savvy opinion, but it's what I live by. It's like, if this helps two families cope with something, it's worth it to me. And so I thought, I'm publishing this myself. So I turned Mighty and Bright into a publishing company and I published that book and it has like over 300 five-star reviews on Amazon now. That's like it was fantastic. So needed. It was so needed. Yeah. And so then I thought, well, I would like to explain divorce in this same way. I would like to, you know, explain just general change. This book, Nothing Stays the Same, but that's okay. That's about general transitions and how change can be scary for kids. But then after I wrote What Happens When Someone I Love Has Cancer, I had families reach out to me and ask me to write one for their kids who were facing their own cancer diagnosis. So then I wrote one for children with cancer, and then same thing happened with their siblings. I started working with children's hospitals and they would request, you know, can you please write one for siblings? They're called glass children, in that people just see right through them because they're necessarily focused on the sick sibling. So I wrote one for them. And then most recently, the last published one I had is for chronic and terminal illness. So how do you manage expectations with your kids when you're dealing with something where you feel sick as a parent and maybe you can't do the things that all the other parents are doing because your body doesn't work quite right. And now the one that I'm just about to finish is What Happens When Someone I Love Can't Get Better, which is for, you know, if someone is terminally ill and will likely have a shortened life expectancy. How do you have a conversation with your child when they're asking the question, are you going to die? And the answer is yes. There's nothing out there like that. So I work with a woman who works with children at Mayo Clinic. So she helped me co-write both of those books.
That's a big applause to you, Sarah. It's so important. And again, on behalf of all the kids out there who we don't give enough of a voice to, thank you. Because you are, we make it no secret, it's one of the main themes here, and I've said it so many times, it was when you go through such a loss, you feel so isolated, you feel like you're alone. And you know, books, a children's book is something that a young kid can connect with and feel like it's not just them. So the thing is, we got to do them, we got to write them, we got to publish them. And like you said, sadly, most of the publishers don't see it as a lucrative option, so they won't do it. So it takes someone like you to take that initiative. So thank you. Now you've kind of touched on it, but you know, with 11 picture books, I was wondering if there was some type of message that resonates across your entire body of work, or for most of them, is there something that seems to be in each and every story or each and every book that you would want to share with us?
It's kind of the coping element of it, and probably open communication also. You know, it's a huge passion of mine to make really difficult conversations easier to have, because a lot of the time you don't know where to start with something, especially something really awful. And so to kind of give a children's book that incorporates, you know, having the hard conversation, explaining what it is that's going on, but then also taking it a step further of like, okay, and now here's how we can cope with it. It's kind of like a framework for the parents to make a conversation like that easier to have, because if there's no framework for it, they're not going to have the conversation. And then the child is going to wonder what's going on. And like you were saying earlier, they end up blaming themselves or thinking that they did something to cause mm-hmm. whatever it is that's happening, because developmentally the whole world revolves around them. Like, how could it not be their fault?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple the comments I want to highlight. Carla says, I think adults could learn valuable lessons from these books too. Thank you, yep. Sarah. Brenda says, those books are so needed. Kids really struggle, and it's good to have something for them and for them to have a voice as well. And then Sarah says, I needed these books as a child. Definitely had growing up with a sickly mom. Yeah. Thank you all for those comments too.
Thank you.
Now Toria has a question. She says, okay, I need to know, how did you manage to not increase your daughter's separation or anxiety issues when you told her about you having cancer?
Honestly, that was my biggest fear. She still was like not thrilled to be separate. I mean, she's 13 now, and you know, we're like this. So, you know, I was really worried about that. I was very lucky in that when I found out I had cancer, they thought it was really early stage. So the way that I explained cancer to her was like, this is like, you know, our bodies are made up of these little tiny guys called cells. And the way that they work is that they can make a new cell anytime they want to. So it's like building with Lego, but you never run out of blocks. But sometimes a broken one gets made, and then he doesn't remember what he's supposed to do. He just makes a whole bunch more that are broken. And before long, there's like a big clump of broken ones. And so, you know, you have to take them out, because then they crowd out all the other cells that are trying to do their jobs. And then the body eventually stops working if there's too many. So that's why we have to take it out. And at the time, they thought I had stage 0 or stage 1. So when my daughter asked me, are you going to die? My answer was no. And it was because there's only a couple of these little guys and they can take them out. And I said, you know, sometimes, you know, if they don't find them soon enough, they like basically packed up their bags and are like moving to another part of the body. And then you have a bigger problem. So it was kind of chance that it didn't increase her anxiety level. Of course, then I had surgery to remove it and found out that it was actually more advanced, and they did find it in my lymph nodes. So I had to go through chemotherapy and all of that. So then I had to go back to her and say, you know, there were more cells than they thought that are broken. And so I have to have a medicine, and the medicine is going to kill all of those guys, no matter where they are. But it's also going to make my hair fall out. So, you know, I really just try to say, you know, you try to have a conversation with as much information as the child needs to know. But we don't hide things. There's like not whispering behind closed doors. You want to make sure your child knows that if anything changes, they can trust you to tell them that something has changed.
That's commendable.
Yeah, that is.
Again, I love it. Was there a special way you would go? Because I would assume a lot of people struggle with that, talking to their child or explaining difficult news like that to them. You know, most people, I think, would hide it in the hopes that it disappears and not worry the child. Mm-hmm. Was there an approach or something you found yourself doing? Was it, you know, you take her out for ice cream or, you know, was it after, you know, a bedtime routine or a day off of school? Was there anything that you did that can maybe help someone who's struggling?
Yes. Absolutely. You want to do it when they don't have to go to school the next day, when they have some like space where they can think about it and come back to you, because it's not a one and done conversation. So I you know, it's one thing to want to like distract your kids, but you don't distract them by like sending them to a friend's house or sending them to camp after you have this conversation. So I recommend having any hard conversation like in the beginning of a weekend and to prep them by saying, I have some kind of hard stuff I need to talk to you about, is now a good time, because you don't want to set them up for like, oh no, now we're going out for lollipops. And every time we go out to lollipops, mom tells me somebody else is dying. Like we, you know, you want to prep them by letting them know, you know, like we're actually going to talk about something difficult. And then just to not put so much pressure on yourself to get it done perfectly, because they're going to have more questions. You're going to think of things that you wish you would have said. More information is going to come up later that you're going to want to revisit the conversation. So just to say, you know, once you've, you know, told them whatever it is that's going on, just to say, I want you to know I'm here to answer any questions that you have about this. You are allowed to feel all the feelings. You know, it's, I'm here, like, I'm here to support you with this. And, you know, kids ask hard questions. They say things like, are you scared? And then you're like, well, I don't want to tell them I'm scared, because if I'm scared, then they're going to be scared. And it's like, these are normal human feelings. Yeah. And it's okay to feel them. And it's okay to feel sad. And it's people say, I've heard a lot of the time people say, I don't want to take away their childhood. And I want to take away their innocence. But the thing is, they're, no matter what we do, we can't protect them from things that are happening, you know, and they're never going to get through the rest of their life without coming across something hard. And at least by it happening when they're children, you are there to hold their hand and help them through it. And Jenny, who is a child life specialist, who's helping me write this book, What Happens When Someone I Love Can't Get Better, you know, she says to families, I cannot take away the sad. You can't take away the sad, but it gets a lot easier for everybody if we can go through it together. And I love that.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Okay. So Sarah, 11 books. I've already said it's unbelievable. I want to,
hey, I have a before.
Yeah, go ahead.
Josh. I mean, because yeah, everything's so commendable in that way, just the self-publishing aspect of it, taking that faith, you know, that defiant leap of faith. But did you ever anticipate, to just saying 11 books in that way? I mean, I know you knew you had something to tell and you had a void to fill in that way. Mm-hmm. But and then obviously with these needs of hearing other people say, I wish there was a book on this. And then you're that person that fills that need, which has been incredible, because this, in this space, it's much needed in that. But 11 episodes or 11 books is a lot in a great way. In
the, yeah, it's a lot.
Did you ever anticipate you were going to ever do that many? Or was it something of like, were you just like, let me get this one? And that first review too, I'm kind of curious how that was, that first positive review that you got.
It's kind of unreal. I still can't believe that people that I don't know are reading these books. And I think the thing that really impacts me is in every single one of these books at the back, I have my mailing address. So I literally will get letters from children where they have included pictures of their whole family. They have handwritten in their adorable handwriting, you know, thank you, my papa has brain cancer, this made me feel better. You know, it really, it is, you know, I run this whole business with these visual schedules, which I feel passionate about in a completely different way. But these books are like why I'm here for sure.
That's so cool. How can people order the books, Sarah? How can they learn more about all the titles and order them?
They are available on Amazon, but also they're all available on my personal website, which is sarahulsher.com. So you can see all of the different titles. I have a line of books that's all about helping kids cope and understand feelings too, because no matter what you're going through, you know, whether it's having to deal with changing from first grade to second grade and getting a new teacher, like all of these things are really hard for kids and they have to learn how to cope with them. And I really love to explain things in a totally different way. So I have a book called The Bear Is Not There that's all about teaching kids about the nervous system. And I have adults read this book and say, I honestly had no idea that that was how our bodies worked. And I am much more likely to try deep breathing now that I understand this.
That's great. Sarah, is this right? SarahOlsher.com? Okay. SarahOlsher.com. That's for anyone who's listening on the podcast. Make sure to check it out, especially if you have a child or nephew or niece or know someone who has a young one going through any situation. It seems like Sarah may have a book for you that could be the perfect aid to help them get through their situation. Okay, I wanted to ask a couple more questions if that's okay, Sarah.
Absolutely, this is fun.
Cool, yeah. I try to make it fun. I try to. So Taj's help. Right, Taj? My assistant. Okay, I want to talk about Mighty and Bright. What motivated you to establish Mighty and Bright, and how does Mighty and Bright assist children and adults in understanding and managing their lives?
Yeah, so I think that first co-parenting calendar and understanding how much of an impact that made on my own daughter, I went down a rabbit hole of research and just really was like, why did this work? I don't get it. And it's all about the visuals. It's like not even the conversation that you have with your kids. It's that it's visual. The human brain is able to process visual cues way faster than words. And developmentally, kids can't keep information in their heads the way adults do. And so when you say something to them, it goes in one ear and straight out the other one. And so then they're asking 100,000 questions. Like, it doesn't matter if they're going through something hard. Like, this is just parenthood, is just answering the same question over and over again. Or like morning and evening routines. It's like, put your shoes on, put your shoes on, put your shoes on. And then you've lost your mind. You don't know whether you ate breakfast. You can't get anybody out the front door. And it's all because kids can't remember what the heck they're supposed to be doing. And so there was nothing out there as far as like visual schedules. And then as time has gone on, there's definitely, you know, these like Velcro things, or like people are printing things off of Etsy and trying to laminate them. So I wanted to figure out how I could create something like this that would not only help, you know, all different kinds of kids going through all different kinds of things. Like, as we know, my passion is helping kids that are dealing with difficult things. So I partnered with someone who's an expert in foster care to create one for kids that are in foster care. I have one for, you know, if a parent has an illness. I have, you know, the co-parenting one. I partnered with a really cool early childhood specialist named Mr. Chaz, who's all about helping kids with transitions, to create a routine chart that takes his teachings into account to help kids. And so that was kind of the passion, has always been helping kids. And then I was on TikTok like 2 years ago, and I met this woman named Casey Davis, and she wrote a book called How to Keep House While Drowning. I think that's the name of her book. And she has like 1.6 million followers on TikTok, talking about what it's like when you are an adult who has depression or ADHD or autism, or you're going through something. She started her TikTok channel because she was going through postpartum depression and she could not keep her house clean. And she had made these charts that looked really similar to what I made, but they were for grownups. And so I reached out to her and I was like, what do you think if we partnered on making something for adults? And she said, yeah, let's do it. And so that kind of launched this whole line for adults. Because people with ADHD or who are neurosparkly in like any way really understand the benefit of having something visually represented, because they also have a hard time keeping things in their brains. But it's really helpful for people, even if they aren't, you know, neurodiverse or neurodivergent.
Sarah, I see three behind you.
Yes.
Can you tell, what are those three charts?
So this one is a weekly calendar. This is a morning and evening routines. And then this is our task chart, which a lot of our products are. It has to do and done on each. And so there are these little glass magnets. And we also just came out with a lower budget one that's sticky. But they're glass magnets. So you can write on these with dry erase or wet erase or Sharpie if you want to. But we have hundreds and hundreds of these reusable stickers that go on the magnets. So they can literally peel off and be replaced if you want to do a different one on your magnet. And we are teaching people how to do things. So this is the first one that went viral for me on TikTok. It teaches kids how to clean a room. So it's broken down into like
the tiniest. I know.
Well, you weren't like our adult clutter master.
No, you should probably start with the tick one.
Exactly, Taj.
Well, they're fun, right? It's like, and then you have the satisfaction of moving it to done, and it has this like clicking noise that people love. It just breaks things down into little tiny steps. So you're like literally learning how to do something, or if you can't keep track of what step you're on, in the case of someone who's maybe ADHD, or if you're a child, you know, you can see where you are in the steps. I have this, I don't know where my little bracelet thing is. I have these things called stay on task bracelets, and any child of the 80s or 90s will love this. It's a snap bracelet, but then you can put the magnet on it and walk from room to room. And then when you get to the next room and forget what you were supposed to be doing,
you can look straight there. That's cool. That I love it. Clever. So are you thinking of all these ideas, Sarah? Is this your creative mind?
Yes, for the most part. But I, you know, partner with people like Mr. Chaz or Casey Davis, who are like, have this great advice, but then people are like, okay, I don't know how to make this like actionable in my own life. And that's where like, I'm really able to be like, oh, I know exactly how you can make that actionable. Let's break that down in this way, and I'll illustrate the whole thing. And bam, here's a sticker sheet.
Yeah. That's so cool.
That is
so
really cool.
It's really
so fun. So I put it up earlier, but I just put it up again. It's an overlay. It's on your screen if you all want to take a look. If you're on the podcast, I apologize. You're just going to have to go to Mighty and Bright. MIGHTY and the word and spelled out and and then Bright BRIGHT.com to check it out. But I assume, Sarah, and you correct me if I'm wrong, at the website mightyandbright.com is where you can order the visual schedules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like visual to-do lists. And
they're really cool though.
Thank you. It's really fun. My favorite product, because this is very near and dear to my heart, is a division of labor set. So when you're trying to figure out how you can share chores in your household so that everybody is helping to share the load, you can visually display it. So then you don't have to ask over and over again, did you take the trash out? Or whose job was it to, you know, clean off the counters? Like, you've literally got it in front of your face. It's
so cool.
Really, it's a game changer for relationships.
How many different products are on the Mighty and Bright? I should have.
Oh my gosh.
Just went on, but
that is, you have a lot. Yeah, we have a lot. I think we have these three charts, but then they're used in a variety of different ways. Okay. So, like if you have this whole setup for adults, you might have your to-dos here, but then we also have stickers for like a weekly one. So you can communicate which day you're going to do a chore, which day is a work from home day, which day you're at the office. And then we have these different things for kids too. So there's a whole bunch of different ones.
Nice.
What do you want to do in the future? I mean, you're doing a lot, so I want to be careful how that came across. But what is next for you, Sarah? Because you've already done so much, and the trajectory of what you're doing and your creativity is really, really cool to me. So I'm curious to know, is there anything in the, is there any future plans that you have for yourself, for Mighty and Bright?
Yeah, I think I'm really excited about this newest book to help kids understand, you know, when someone is close to them is going to die. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to seeing the impact that that has. And then once it's in children's hospitals, there are a lot of books about grief. So I'm not necessarily sure if my voice is, I don't believe my voice is needed in every scenario. So I'm not sure if there's something that I could add to that conversation, that there's some really beautiful books out there already, after someone has died. But there are a lot of different illnesses that people have that they need explained to children or that they need support with. And one of them is Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So I have friends that are close to me whose parents, one whose father died from early onset Alzheimer's and another one whose mother has Alzheimer's right now. And that's a really scary one for kids because it's really hard to explain to them, like, why doesn't this person remember who I am, or why are they making these mistakes when they're talking to me? I don't understand. And then from the person who is struggling with their memory, like, are there any things that could help them maintain independence longer, you know, in terms of like a visual schedule? So that is really where we're going next, I think.
That's great. That's great. So you were recognized in 2023 as a remarkable woman by Nexstar Media. It's a huge achievement. How has this recognition impacted your work and your advocacy efforts?
Honestly, that shocked me. And I think it really, the thing that was the most amazing about that was I was representing the Pacific Northwest. I'm in Oregon, so I was representing Oregon and Washington, but they also selected women in other states, and then they brought everybody to LA so that we could all meet one another. And to me, that was the biggest impact for me, was seeing some of the work that some of these other women were doing and the impact that they were able to make in their own communities. It was inspiring to me. It was really inspiring. There are a lot of really incredible people in this world, and it gives me a lot of hope.
You know, we're blessed that almost weekly we get to talk to those amazing people. Yeah. And Sarah, you are definitely one. You are doing such amazing stuff. And what I love, it's all done in a youthful, innocent type of way, where it's not threatening, and it's all important stuff. So yeah. I commend you. That's not easy to accomplish, but everything you've done seems very, very potent and awesome.
Thank you.
On behalf of my brother Taj and our whole foundation, we are supporting and love what you're doing.
Thank you.
Question, how can our community best engage with you to learn more about your work and your future work?
Probably following on social media. I'm not the best, but I have a teammate who loves it. So we're trying to get more active. But I love TikTok, and we're also on Instagram. So following us there at Mighty and Bright Co. would be great. And then also just checking out the website, and you know, we love to hear from people, and so yeah, I'd say that's probably the best way.
Very cool. Okay, well, there's a couple comments I want to go to, but before I do, Taj, I want to make sure there's nothing you wanted to say or ask Sarah before I go to them.
No, I just in general, just, you know, so fascinated, especially when someone not only goes into that space in terms of to help others, but you've consistently done that in that way. And you're actually listening to an audience that is screaming for help in a way. And then you come out with a product for that. So
yeah,
as TJ said, we commend you so much for that. And thank you for doing this in that way. Cause it's one of those things that's like making a difference. It's soothing to the soul in that way. And I can imagine how you feel in that way.
Yeah, it feels really cool.
Isabel wants to know if we could share the book website again.
Sure. That's just my name. It's sarahulsher.com.
There you go, Isabel. And then Isabel also had a solid question that I'm going to bring up. She wants to know, or she says, Sarah, I'm really impressed and interested in your work. I really think these would benefit children in schools. Do you sell both the books and displays in schools already?
That is a great question. I don't. I mean, I know that my books are used in classrooms because I've had teachers reach out to me. And one of my best friends she's a school counselor in a school across the country in Ohio. And she was like, I went into a classroom and one of the teachers was using your book. And that was so cool. So I know that some teachers do use them. But this is something that I have thought a lot about, and I'm just not sure the how to do that. So, if anybody has any ideas, please do shoot me an email because I think the kids would love that.
Very, very cool. And is that what email on the, because we do have a following that is active. So is that email that could be found on the website?
Sarah? Yes, absolutely. Either on my personal website or Mighty and Bright, all of it comes to me. So
perfect. Carrie says, thank you, Sarah, for doing such inspiring and impactful work. And there was one more comment that I lost. Tori says, thank you for that wisdom. And I can't find it. Oh, well. Okay. I can't find it. But like Carol says, thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all you are doing, all you've done. Again, for all of you who are watching, you can go to sarahulsher.com for ordering the books. She did also say they're on Amazon. Right.
Yeah.
But it may be easier to start at Sarah Ulsher so you could see it.
See the whole world.
Exactly. And then there's also Mighty and Bright for the visual schedulers that also look really, really cool. Right. I think you're amazing, Sarah. I'm excited to see what's next for you. I'm actually going to go to Mighty and Bright now. I got a house full of some kids that some of those scheduling things. And like Taj said, I'm going to start.
I'm thinking the same thing. So.
Like Taj said, I may start with the children's schedule for myself for the room. But either way, I'm just really proud of you and think it's awesome.
Thank you guys so much.
Okay. I think that is it. Oh no. It's not it. We're supposed to give all of our guests. You almost became the first guest to not leave our community with something, Sarah. I don't know how that happened. I don't even think Taj was going to stop.
Oh, I would never let you break all the right. trend of that.
Well, with that said, Sarah, a minute, two if you need it, or even seconds, whatever you want to do. We like to give our guests, everyone who comes on, the final say, the final word. It could be on topic, off topic, completely up to you. But yes, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I think what I would like to leave everybody with is just please consider talking to your kids about whatever it is that's going on. I feel so passionate about this because they really can understand more than we give them credit for. They really can get it. Just try to include them because they are a valued member of your family and they deserve to know what's going on. I think there's a lot of kids that had things hidden from them. People in my family included, my aunt died of breast cancer when she was 41. And she and her husband hid it from their kids for a long time. And they grew up and they still wish that they had known what was going on. And I think that story that I grew up with of my cousins having that feeling really has impacted my work and my passion about this. So please just include them.
That's well said. You are not going to get any type of, what's the word? Resistance from us. Oftentimes our kids get lost in this world and we need people like you, Sarah, to cheerlead and help them get the love and support they need. That's it. I've been highlighting some comments throughout. Sometimes I'll read them. I'll just read a couple. April says, great show today. Everything you do, Sarah, is truly amazing. Carla says, thank you, Sarah, for caring and sharing everything that you do. To everyone who's watching, thank you all for being here. Sarah, again, on behalf of my brother and our whole foundation and our community, thank you for taking the time to share with us what you are doing.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Yeah. And you're welcome back anytime. Anytime there's another book or product, always reach out and know we're here. All right.
Thank you.
To everyone else, we will see you guys next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please be safe and adios, everyone.